Morning to the book of Psalm, chapter 78. Psalm 78. I want to read verse 1 down through the 7th verse. Thank God for the grace of God bestowed upon all of our lives. Amen. Oh, great, great grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 78. You get there, say amen. Verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. The writer says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your presence and for your spirit. We thank you for that anointing of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the sense of God that we've had today, from the Bible class to the worship service. We pray now, Lord, as we endeavor to sit down at the table of the Lord. Father, there's a table spread before the people of God. But we must sit down at it, oh God. Father, this is absolutely vital to our lives that we have these times of spiritual dynamic refreshing. Father, we must sit down at the table of the Lord. We pray, God, that you'd minister to our hearts and our souls by the word of God. We pray for that anointing that can destroy the yoke, set captives free. We thank you, God, that we are free from the fear of yesterday. Oh, my God, and tomorrow. Oh, God, but it's necessary we sit down in the presence of the Lord. We pray, Father God, that you'd convey this message of our heart, Lord, to the spirit of your people. We pray, God, that we'd lay hold, dear God. We pray that you'd manifest your word this morning. Speak spiritual insight into our heart and soul. Cause us to leave this place elevated, my God, in spirit and mind. Lifted up and encouraged, oh, challenged by the Holy Ghost. We'll give you the praise, thanksgiving for it all. Jesus' name. Everybody shouted amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. We'll talk to you a little while about restoring a revelation to this present generation. Restoring a word and a move of God, being reminded of. It begins in verse number 1. One verse, God speaks. Six others that we read, this man speaking, all under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Verse 1 says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Now that's what God is saying in this psalm to the writer. Give ear. That's the command of God, the challenge of God to his people. Give ear to my law and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. It's vitally important that every generation hear a word from God. We've got to have a revelation of the Holy Ghost. Now, they didn't have the manifestation of the Holy Ghost then, but we do now. And it's imperative that every generation of believers hear the word of God. Amen. We're living in a time of the church, saints, when there are very few people. Now God has a book, and he has a word. But let me tell you this morning, he also has a voice. He said, my people know my voice. You're not going to read the voice of God. You've got to hear the voice of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. And not just reading and reading of the word of God, but hearing. And hearing of the word of God. Amen. He has a voice. And you and I must have an attentive ear, an open spirit, a receptive mind to receive what God's saying in this generation. Give ear, O my people, to my law. And incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Now, the prophet goes on in this psalm to make these statements. It says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. I want to pause there for just a moment. Saints, we're living in a very elementary time of the church. We're living a very soft-spoken time of the church. We live in a time of great generalities when people listen from the pulpit, general references to the Word of God. I cannot tell you the frustration that I've heard on many occasions of those so frustrated that there's no depth of the Word of God, no truths being spoken, no elements of divine essential quality. Such generalities, just as if we could pick it up off of the internet, and some do speak in such general terms, such surface mentality, which maintains a surface experience in the life of the believer. Saints, I am what I eat, they say. And if that's what I'm eating spiritually, that's what I am spiritually, amen. If I'm simply living on the peripheral, there's no depth in this life. But this writer says, I will open my mouth in a parable, I will utter dark sayings of old. That means somebody's going to have to get a hold of God. That means somebody's going to have to dig down in the depth of the presence of God. That means somebody's going to have to tarry at the wellsprings of the Lord. That means somebody's going to have to research what God has to say. That means somebody's going to have to walk with God. That somebody's going to have to come into a knowing revelation. Somebody's going to have to tarry in the holy place until God's willing to speak the dark parable again. If you believe it, can you say amen? Most of what God would truly want to say is hidden from the vast multitude. So few today, saints, tarrying long enough to hear what God has to say in hidden terms. The still small voice of the Spirit. We're picking up on the everyday generalities. We want to enjoy the blessings. We want God to take care of us, meet our needs. Well, that's all Israel got when they marched around the wilderness for 40 years in rebellion. God took care of their needs. We're testifying that God's paying my water bill and healing my head cold. He took care of that for 40 years in the wilderness. The Bible says shoes didn't wear out, their feet didn't swell. He took care of that, and the nation was in rebellion. We want God to take care of us, but there are few hungry enough for God to tarry in that holy place until they retrieve a dark word from God. I'm talking about a hidden mystery of the divine God, to tarry in an essential place till God speaks in quickening truth. This prophet took hold of what God said. I will open my mouth in a parable. I remember this past week on a morning. I may preach along this line. I'm not sure. Not in this message, but possibly another. As I was praying in that morning prayer meeting, this statement came into my mind. It said, you cannot put new wine into old wine skins. And I give you a fresh revelation. You can't receive it out of that old mindset. You got to step up to the new day. Amen. All this going through my mind. And as I was praying along that way, along those thoughts, he began to speak into me a depth of what he wanted to say. I just began to penetrate my soul. I thought, God, you don't get this walking by and grab it off the top of the table. God's got to penetrate down inside that spirit, saint. Somebody's going to have to live at a place we can hear the dark sayings of God. He's not speaking to everybody, but he is to those with effectual, fervent prayer life, with a deep need for God and a sense of his presence, who will walk with him in a high and a holy place with a broken and a contrite spirit. If you believe it, can you say amen? I will open my mouth in a parable. He went on to talk to me in that prayer meeting. He said, son, somebody's got to prophesy the truth that I am about to do. Amen. Somebody's got to speak it forth. There's got to be a word of the prophet. Amen. You know, we've run from that. I work with a guy. He said, I'm a prophet. I thought, I'm Mickey Mouse. We've run from that, saints. We've got to get away from that. People claiming all these gifts of the Spirit, so little manifestation. Then I'm telling in this hour, God is apt to raise up the voice of the prophet one more time. Amen. God's going to bring up the miracle worker one more time. Amen. I'm not talking about a set of sorts specific ministry. I'm talking about the gifts and the callings of the church that with God or without repentance. Amen. He's going to raise that up again. He told me in that prayer meeting, in my heart, son, somebody's got to speak the thing that I'm about to do. There's got to be the voice of the prophet. If there's going to be a deep move of God, somebody's got to proclaim it first. You've got to open your mouth. My mind run the gamut of that thought. I thought, Lord, there are many times that's very difficult to do. Sometimes we think it's harder for God to work the miracle. Church, I'm not so sure that it's harder for God to work the miracle than it is for the prophet to speak out of his mouth what God's about to do. Because when you speak out of your mouth what God is about to do, you put your life on the line. You either right or you're wrong. If it doesn't happen, you're a false prophet. There's no truth or validity in you. Amen. You and I'll stand on the edge of eternity at times with the voice of God inside of us. But saints, somebody going to speak what God's about to do. He does nothing but first he puts it in the mouth of those prophets. And before Christ will come, he's going to send a forerunner by the name of John. Amen. He's going to find a hidden man that he is credentialed and prepared. He's going to go out and then say, there's coming one after me who's mightier than I am, whose shoes latches I'm not worthy to tie or loose. Come on, saints. Somebody's going to have to prophesy what God's about to do. That comes home to you and I. There comes a time when God puts something down inside your soul and your spirit. If you maintain that prayer life, if you walk in the Spirit of God, if you maintain a hunger after the thought of God, God will on occasions put down inside of you a seed of thought. He'll begin to speak his mind into your life, and as he does so, he'll open to you that I'm about to do a thing. And when he does, saints, for fear you'll say, if I speak it out, it won't come to pass. I'll appear to be a failure. I'll be disappointed if it doesn't take place. You'll deal with that. I'm not talking about what you hope comes to pass. I'm not talking about what you want to come to pass. I don't care what the church world has to say. I'm tired of listening to folks who fill their mind every day with stupidity that comes out of what we call Christian television, and then wonder why we come out of stupidity for prophecy and all of that mess. I'm talking about what thus saith the word of the Lord. I'm talking about the dark sayings of a divine God. I'm talking about what comes from the holy place. If you believe it, can you say amen? He said, my sheep know my voice. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll know the voice of the Spirit. If you don't know the voice of the Spirit, it's because you're not walking in the Spirit. My sheep know my voice. Amen. If you and I walk in that, God will begin to speak to you. There'll come a time he'll speak. I'm about to do a thing. And when that rumbles around inside your spirit, saints, fear take a hold of that. So you just let God do it. He gets ready to do it, you do it, and then you tell everybody you believe that took place. God told you that. No, it didn't work that way. Somebody's got to speak the truth that I'm about to do. Somebody, God's going to send a forerunner. There's going to be a prophetic utterance. He's going to speak. It's always been in the Old Testament. It is in the New. I mean, even Christ coming to earth, he's going to send John. Somebody is going to tell about this thing. We're going to testify. For the coming of the Lord says, we don't know the day or the hour, but these people are going to make themselves ready. They see those signs in the heaven. There's an amber sky. There's going to be trouble. Oh my, all this. That fig tree's falling. That John, you give that revelation, that prophetic utterance. These things are going to precede. All of this. You get that church ready. That wide unto harvest. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest. These things according to these times. Saints of God, somebody going to have to tarry in that holy place and begin to speak what God says in that heart. When God tells you he's going to do something, there comes a time, church, you can't hold it in. You're going to have to speak it out and stand on that line. When God told Noah, he said, I want you to go down there and build an ark. You began began to preach the righteousness of God. He preached 120 years. My God, he built him that ark. He looked like the biggest fool on earth. If it doesn't rain, I'm a false prophet. At the end of 120 years, God said, you'd send every animal in there. You close it. You go in there. He closed the door behind him. The fountains of the great deep opened. The rains began to descend, just as the prophet had declared. Abraham said a thing for 25 years. He walked a life of faith. Moses said, you're going to be a plague, but God's going to bring you out. They couldn't see it in the plague of the frogs, the plague of the lice, the plague of the flies. They couldn't see it in the darkness. It could be felt. They couldn't feel it in the hail that had mingling fire. But saints, nonetheless, no matter what they thought, Moses stood as a testimony. God's going to bring you out, and he's going to bring you in. Amen. And as sure as he stood to the testimony, God did the same. If you believe it, would you give him a praise in this house? Hallelujah to the Lamb. God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a child. I hadn't got a child. I'm 90-something years old. I'm going to give you a child. I'll never forget this. I believe it's the last time I heard Brother Clendenin preach. We were in Florida, Lynn Haven, Florida. I believe it was the last time. I'm not sure, but I believe it was the last time I heard him preach. Lynn Haven, Florida. And we'd gone early, just to have a little time for family, and then the camp meeting would begin the next week. Brother Clendenin was preaching the Sunday morning, Sunday evening service. Well, that morning as they began to preach, I thought to myself, said, Brother, your wheels are grinding kind of slow, kind of like mine get to grinding. You know, I'm listening there, and it's just kind of going along, and I'm just kind of trying, come on, brother, come on. You know, I've been there. Every pastor I know, every evangelist I know, unless he be an angel from God's been there. Well, I'm trying to get with him, stay with him, and he's hammering his way through that message. But I'll never forget, saints, he made this statement. There was a statement made in that message that spoke into my heart. It spoke volumes inside of me that God begins to work a thing. When he said this statement, he said Abraham was 90-something years old. He made that statement. He come to a place where he was 100. He said, his wife was 99. She was practicing being a prune, he said. Listen to that. God said, I'm going to give you a child. All the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Now, God, you told me that through me and my seed, nations of the earth are going to be blessed. I've walked this path for 25 years. You've told me I'm going to bless you. You'll be a blessing, and you're going to bring a blessing. I've been preaching this. He said, hadn't come to pass. No signs whatever. I'm 100 now. She's 99. How can this possibly be? He said, what God's put inside that head, all I've told you to tell what I've said. You do not cease to say what I've said. If I tell you, say it. Now, that just burned him. Just a simple statement in that message spoke volumes. I'm not so sure that the whole background of everything that he had said that day was just to give forth, preach powerfully that Sunday night. But that Sunday morning, that statement was what I needed to hear. You just keep saying what I told you to say. Oh my, I got a hold of that. I thought, God, I've been saying, but Lord, I see no signs, no evidence, none of that. You just keep telling what I told him to tell. 25 years he walked, now he's 100, she's 99. Disbelief and fear produced an Ishmael. See, he was set out, and in that prayer meeting, it's going along all this time together. And there come a time when his wife said, you get that boy out of this place. I want no Ishmael, and I don't want no maid servant here. That... and said, you get rid of him. Now, Abraham's broken. That's his son. That's his son. Ishmael's his. That's, he didn't want him to leave. God spoke to him. Said, you listen to your wife. I'm not going to share territory with my blessing with a son of a bondwoman. There's no son of a bondwoman going to share the blessing with the promise. No, no. You're not going to put new wine into those old vessels. It's going to be done my way. You must hear my voice and walk in that. Well, all of that. Just keep saying what you've been told to say. Saints, there comes a time when God puts something in there, you're going to have to begin to speak of it. I don't want to say that. I see no signs of it. You testify of it just the same. You stand out on faith and declare what God has had to say. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Saints, We're talking about a man of God who walking in the revelation of God's divine will. To those who return back to that altar, to those who seek God in that soulful place of divine intercession. Lord, I'm going to walk with you. You will hear the equipping of the voice of God. He will send revelation. Saint of God, I believe this. I'm convicted by it that if a man or woman will walk with God, you will have continuing moments where God reveals himself by revelation. You will experience dreams. If you don't experience dreams, you will sense deep impressions of the Holy Ghost as if God were standing right there before you. You'll know it's true just as much as you know the Word of God is true. He will lead you into all truth. He will reveal himself to you. Once you're revealed by the Spirit of God, you walk in that revelation. If you believe it, can you say amen? My wife and I were talking about something. I said, honey, I don't know about the answer right now, but I will. I'll know it by about tomorrow morning or the next morning. I'll know it. It'll come. Been multitude of times when I didn't know the night before, dealing with something that I need to have God's mind on, had no idea. I'd go to sleep confident, I don't know, but I'll know it. Multitude of times, waking up in the morning, in that twilight of my mind, here it comes, that revelation of God, pouring it in there. I'm dealing with it. I don't know how it got there. I wasn't thinking about it. I just went to sleep. Here it comes, that revelation. Going to that prayer meeting, it all starts unfolding. It all coming together. Hear me, saying, walking in that dark place, somebody has got to hear the Word of God. Somebody has got to have an ear attentive to what God's saying. We're not going to speak dark sayings unless we're living in a place adjacent to the Spirit of God. Somebody to raise up a voice of righteousness and declare what God is about to do. If you believe it, can you say amen? Verse 3, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. This is something that's happened in the past. It's gone before us. We've heard the testimony of those of days gone by. We've lost sight of the revelation, but I'm going back to a place where I hear God speak again. You know, growing up as a young man, this prophet was going to come to town, and this man who is used in gifts of healing, of ministry, these who gifts of laying hands to the sick and words of prophetic utterance and wisdom and knowledge and things of this era. And then we began to divide that. We got the healers and we got the prophets and all of this. And man got his hands a hold of all of that. God pulled back from that. That manifestation not there. Sin continued to slip in as just flesh ran rampant in the church. We're living in that time. Now we see the necessity of a recovery. Somebody has got to go back and retrieve that holy place where God is manifesting himself. Saints, that does, you know, we've seen a lot of false prophets, but that does not remove the true. Amen. We've seen a lot of those who claim to have something, have nothing, but it does not remove the essential quality of that which is God. Amen. Sure, there's an antichrist, but he's not first. It is the Christ. Amen. There is that which is against God. It is a testimony. It is the opposite of, wants nothing to do with, but the true testimony is the living God. Amen. It's not that which departs from. It's that which hungers and after and thirsts for. Somebody's got to go back and recover that. Get away from all the false prophets. Forget about that foolishness. Don't worry about what that has to say. Don't worry about what you're going to look like. You go back into that temple that's been in ruins and has been stained and disregarded. You go back into that place. And when you get in there, you do just pick up as usual. You go back and recover those first works. You carry out those idolatrous things. You remove all of that stuff. You get in there on hands and knees and you begin to cleanse that temple. You begin to renew that temple. You go back to that altar and get yourself prayed through. You don't pick up where you left off. You go back and do those first works over. Hear me, saints. The church in this hour has got to retrieve a place where God's speaking from. The place of revelation. The place where God would manifest his glory. There's got to be a prophetic utterance in this last day. Somebody to speak the word of God to this generation. If you believe it, can you say amen? Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Saints, you and I are here bound by a challenge of the Holy Ghost and a divine responsibility. You and I in this church are to restore praises to the house of God. We are here to lift up worship unto God. Today, I'm almost sickened by the thought of the term praise and worship. We're going to have praise and worship. And when the praise and worship team sits down, so does the praise and worship. Amen. Sickened by that. The term Pentecostal almost hangs in my throat anymore, because the connotation has been derived by all the foolishness and stupidity that we've created around it. But nonetheless, Pentecost is still a true happening. And God deserves all praise and all worship. Amen. You and I are bound by duty unto God to restore such an element to the church. If this generation is going to know it, somebody's got to have it. Amen. And if we're going to have it, somebody's going to have to testify of it. Somebody's going to have to walk in that holy place with God. That's got to be restored. There has to be a place where people can come and experience the presence of God, the moving of the power of God. My wife was talking about yesterday, it is a sad day when we've come to a place when we don't see elements of sin and wickedness. We're so elated that we're willing to pick up and listen to deadness in its place, because we see the absence of wickedness. We're willing to listen to nothing. Whatever happened to the power of God? Amen. The elements of God's divine presence, the absence of is not the possession of. Amen. Just because it's absent of sin and immorality doesn't mean it possesses the power of God. If you believe it, would you give Him praise? Hallelujah to the Lamb. Somebody has got to recover that state. Somebody's got to recover that place. Amen. Got to recover that place. To everyone in this room is a blaze of holy fire, a candle, my God, a quickening flame, a divine element of the glory of God. To recover that place, to insist on it and recover it. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. You pick up 12 stones out of the midst of that Jordan where the priest's feet stood firm. You carry them over and set them in the camp of Israel, so that in time to come, generations following may come and say, Father, what does it mean by these stones? Son, it is a memorial of that which God miraculously did for us, brought us out of Egypt through the wilderness and into this promised land. It is to be a memorial. He said, now you take up stones and you carry them and set them in the midst of that sea, that Jordan, at the place where they stood firm, a testimony of both ends. There's nothing for me back here. The promise is before me. Hear me, church. Somebody's got to believe God. There has to be a testimony. If our generation has a move of God, it's because folks in our generation have had a move of God. You know, there have been many testimonies. I'd hear them testify. I remember so-and-so. He'd get up. He had a guitar, played the guitar. Spirit of God get to moving. He'd walk over, open his guitar lid, pull out a cowbell. He'd start marching around that building, just swinging that cowbell. I've heard of others. It's good, you know, sister in the church. She'd come up, maybe timid, maybe couldn't sing that well. You know, all of this. She'd stand behind that piano, begin to sing. After that first lyric, that first line of song, all of a sudden that second voice of the Holy Ghost showed up and the glory of God began to fall with the Spirit of God come. I remember hearing the testimony of Smith Wigglesworth. His wife did most of the preaching. He heard about a Pentecostal revival happening in Europe. He went over there for a time, came back. His wife, Polly, I believe was her name, said, we'll find out what he got. Said, supposed to got filled with the Holy Ghost. Said, Smith, you're preaching tonight. She always did the preaching. He was a timid man. He was a plumber by trade. He stood up there and began to preach. The power of God hit him. The glory of God fell on that pulpit. He preached under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. They could hear Polly in the back of the auditorium say, my God, that's not my Smith. That is not my Smith. He was anointed by the power of God, went on to be a great man of God. Hear me, church. We heard of those times. Those people changed lives. They said that D.L. Moody would sit down in a street, in a train car, sit there, not saying a word. A young man, get up to leave, turn, look at the man of God, say, sir, your very presence convicts me of my sin. Walking by the restaurant, and the Spirit of God moved people inside that restaurant. restaurant reminds me when Peter passed through and his shadow began to heal those that were sick with disease. Oh my God, those men challenged lives. They changed the course of life. Benjamin Franklin was listening to George Whitefield. He said he did a mathematical equation. He said this man of God could preach to 22,000 people in an open place without the aid of a microphone. Men of God who walk with God. John Wesley served God, rode that horse. I forget the thousands of miles he rode horseback to spread this gospel. He said for 3 days nobody had taunted him, nobody had cursed him, nobody had cast anything against him. He said he got down on his knees before God, began to cry out, "Lord, what have I done? I've had no sacrifices, faced no trials." All of a sudden a brick hit him upside the head. Oh, come on, church. But they believed God. Amen. A man had a dream. He supported the man of God, sent him where he'd go. God began to speak to him. He said, "I saw a whited field. Everywhere I looked was wheat white for the harvest. Only one out man out there serving and doing the work." Finally, God spoke, "Son, no longer sin. You've got to go." Son of God, somebody has got to hear God again. Somebody's got to go to that holy place. Somebody's got to tarry in that upper room. Somebody's got to walk this thing. Son of God, I'm going to tell you, this world needs to know that there's some marriages that are going to survive. That there are young men that aren't going to turn their back on God and go to alcohol and drugs and pornography and sexual addictions. Come on, saints. They've got to know that there are some men that are still the head of their home. And the wives that are godly characters and young people of God who can serve God in a foxhole. Come on, church. They need to know that there is a church that believe they are different from the world. They tell you today, what's the church different from the world? I'm here to tell you this morning that Landmark Tabernacle is one of those churches. Amen. We are different from the world. Amen. We don't say the same thing the world's saying. We've heard the voice of another world. Come on. Somebody got to live this life. And you've got to live it day in and day out and walk before God. You've got to be a foreteller of that truth. And the only truth you can tell is the thing that God has birthed inside that spirit. Somebody has got to hear from God. Do you believe that this morning? Lift your hands with me across the room. Father, in the name of Jesus, we worship and exalt your holy name. And we lift you up and give you honor and glory. Thank you, Father, for your presence and anointing upon our life. Thank you, Father God, that we can restore the memory of God. We can restore the truth of God. We can restore the manifestation of your presence. Lord, somebody walk this thing. There is a world out there looking for somebody who will live this life. There is an atheist that lacks the power of a godly example. Lord, that somebody has got to stand to this testimony of faith without wavering. Oh, my God, there's got to be a church that'll persevere to bring this thing back home to God. Oh, Lord, you'll move again, but somebody's got to believe God to see it happen. Lord Jesus, it's not because I want it. It's because I stand up on the side of it. Oh, my God, it's not because I'm hungering and thirst aftering it. Thank God for that. It starts there. But Lord, it's because I make the necessary steps to do your will. That's what's necessary in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, don't give me a morning prayer meeting without the fire of God. Oh, Lord, don't give me a Bible without a revelation. Lord, God, a word without a voice. Oh, Lord, but I pray, God, your spirit rise up inside of us. Show us the revelation of God. Oh, and then begin to challenge our heart to speak what we know in times of testimony. God, help the testimony of our people begin to rise to new levels and new heights. God, giving manifestation of what's going on down inside their spirit. I pray, Father, begin to speak in a lofty term. Not an elevated in themselves and full of foolish pride, but oh God, of what you birthed inside that spirit, what you're showing and revealing to the church. Oh God, help us to stand as a testimony of faith in this hour and at this time and see it come to pass in the name of Jesus. Ask my wife to come to the piano as you're shut in with God. The saints, we have stepped out on faith in this church, and we have said for 6 3/4 years, September will be 7, that God is going to do a thing in our midst. Man yesterday told me, said, "Well, brother, if you win one soul, it'll be worth it all." I thought, "Sir, you have no idea what we're here for. It's not about winning one soul. We're not here celebrating smallness nor largeness. We're here to do the will of God. God has birthed something inside our spirit, and he's the one's got to bring it to pass. We can't do it, saints, but we must testify of it. We could hold our peace for for fear that we're going to step out all by ourselves and be made a fool of. Saints, how many times was Noah a fool for God? He was a fool for God every day. He said, this thing is going to break loose. Get ready because God is about to send a downpour. Oh, my God Almighty. Abraham, how many times is somebody going to have to step out and say, God is about to do a thing? Church, there'll come a day, if you'll tarry in such a place, you can hear God speak to you. Then God begins to challenge you to speak forth what he has said to you alone. You begin to be the prophet in somebody's life. Maybe you begin to talk to your family or talk to those that God sends in your path. Whatever wisdom of God is, he's impressed upon you. You begin to declare the age of the times, whatever the case may be. You become to be that forth teller. Speak that. You may stand out there by yourself. You may have stand out there all by yourself. Look like you're a fool. How many times, church, did the church look like a fool in the midst of circumstances? Somebody looking down in that prison saw Joseph. They never identified or confused him with a man of God. Somebody looking at Paul and Silas in that prison, bloodied back, beaten up, and said, my God, these things, no telling what these men have accomplished. Paul washed up on that island, snake hanging on his hand. Surely this man's a murderer. All of these things. Never identify them with the people of God. In their times in your life, you're going to look like everything but Jesus hanging on that cross naked. Look like a piece of hamburger meat. What kind of terrible of atrocity has he committed? Hang in there. Between hell. It was a shame for a man to be hung on a tree. There he is, the Son of God. Look like everything but the Son of God. Saints, there's going to be a moment when God's going to vindicate your faith. What he has said to you is going to bring to pass. And if you've been the forth teller, if you've been that prophet, if you've carried that cold drink of water, then there's going to be a reward for the same. If you've done the will of God, but if you've drawn back, saint of God, if you drew back, the prophet in time of famine said, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel in the gate of the city. If he'd have drawn back, that he'd have had the same spirit of the man that on whom the king leaned, that answered and said, God would have to open the windows of heaven for this thing to be. The prophet went on to reply, you'll see it with the eyes, but you're not going to be a part of it. And they trode him in the gate to his death. Saint of God, what if Esther had not have stood up and declared the thing that was true about God? Another enlargement and deliverance would have come from another way, but she'd have been destroyed in her household. Church, somebody has got to live this thing close enough to God to hear these dark sayings and parables of the Christ. Wisdom born of its children. Oh, my God. God has depth of wisdom. Somebody's got to dig it and seek it out. Oh, my God. Not just to get our needs met. They had their needs met in rebellion, marching around that mountain in the wilderness for 40 years. Their feet didn't even swell. Oh, God, somebody going to see the glory of the Lord, going to have to climb through that terrible darkness into the presence of God to hear that dark saying of, oh, my God. Church, this generation's got to have a voice. This generation's got to have a young man of God. This generation's got to have a woman of God. This generation's got to have a church in it. And I can tell you this morning, I've been around some. How your church doing? I know they're just asking because they care about me. They're not trying to put me on the spot, but in the situation, you can feel that way. I just say, well, great services need to grow. That's just a little pat answer I throw out there where we are. I'm not going to declare all. Some that have a bit of understanding, I'll share a little bit. But no way they can know till they walk this path. Saints of God looking on. I can see it in some of their eyes. They're trying to believe with me. Trying. And they come out with some little pieces of wisdom. Well, if you win one soul, it'll be worth it all. I thought, brother, that's not where we're at. It's to do the will of God. God bring it to pass. Church, let me tell you, somebody got to testify of this truth. It comes to pass and nobody said anything about it. What validity do we bring to ourselves when we've made the same testimony and God does the thing all of a sudden? When it came to Paul, the man who had the viper hanging on his hand, they called him a murderer. The Bible says they changed their minds, said he's a God. Oh, hallelujah. Saint of God, somebody got to be a testimony of this faith. Stand with me across this room. Just a moment as my wife begins to sing and you're in the house this morning. God has already dealt with your heart. He's spoken into your life. He's dealt with you. You're shut in with God in this room, in this place. Lord, I feel the challenge of the Holy Ghost to be a testimony of the Word of God in my time. Somebody got to speak up for the truth of God, and somebody going to have to tarry long enough in the place of wisdom to hear what God has to say. You would reveal yourself to me in these times. Lord, I must tarry until you do. God, you would restore the work of the prophet and the voice of the foreteller and the foreteller. Oh, God, you'd raise up the voice of those that should declare what you're about to do. Father, if you're going to send judgment, a man does not warn. He said to the prophet, if you don't warn them, it's going to take place, but their blood going to be required at your hand. Oh, my God Almighty. Somebody got to stand in the place of obedience and speak the thing that God has said. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You're here in this room this morning. You feel that quickening challenge of the Holy Ghost to be that man or that woman for the hour, for this time. I want you to come across this room as my wife begins to sing. Let's come into these altars, church. This is a time to seek the Lord. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. My God. I'm not talking about coming down asking God for another blessing. I'm not coming down asking God for another direction for my life. God Almighty, somebody got to stand in the gap, make up the hedge. Somebody got to point to the cross again to tell about an upper room, to have a miracle take place they can testify of, to see a move of the Holy Ghost they can point to live a life of high moral strength somebody can lean on. Somebody in the church, I can say, there's one that's not going to the dogs. There's one that's not going to hell. And there's one who hasn't changed their course nor made their mind up to some other idea. They've been walking this faith and they're still walking it. Somebody has got to be there. Sing it again. Hallelujah.
Don't give up.
Son of God, tarry in that place of revelation. Seek the heart and the face of God till He speaks to you and says, go forth with these words and speak them to my people. Oh, my God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my God, my God. Prophet said, I will. I will, I will, I will, I will. Oh, my God. Jeremiah said, I refuse, but it was a fire shut up in my bones, and I could not stay. Come on, saints of God.
Don't give in. God is still.